I am Alan Monroe with Monroe Farms in Frioni, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Timing could mean a lot for farmers looking for pricing opportunities for 2024 cotton. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Leaders of the Senate Ag Committee are discussing their farm bill priorities. I'm Jessica Dolmel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
High winds and a spring green up in Texas for the month of March. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have the full forecast from the National Weather Service on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. We continue our coverage of the Commodity Classic held last week in Houston. Texas wheat growers were at the Classic, like Ben Schultz of Levon, Texas, northeast of Dallas. As past president of the National Association of Wheat Growers, Schultz serves on the board of directors for the National Wheat Foundation.
We've got an arm of the National Wheat Growers Association. It's a 501(c), so we can get participation with corporations that want to engage in projects with wheat growers to move wheat forward, in whether it's technology or new information or education and promotion of wheat.
You've had some meetings here with the foundation. What are some things that are happening with the foundation right now?
One of the big things that we do each year, and is tied in with this Commodity Classic event that's been held this week in Houston, is nationally we have a wheat yield contest. All of our winners, there was some 26 or 7 winners over across the nation in various wheat states that went through all the process of do data collection. We evaluate wheat not only by yield, but the quality. So every grower that gets recognized as a national winner, there's a 10-pound sample retained from each one of those growers, so it can go through the quality assessment too. If you don't have a sellable quality, so why should you be a winner? So it's just part of a process, because our market in wheat is tied to those quality factors that make it into the bread wheat, or even the cookie market with soft red winter, or sponge cakes with your hard springs or other soft whites and other, your various classes of wheat. It's an exciting event. We had that event last night at a nice dinner and got to recognize each one of those national winners.
Well, I don't want to let this opportunity pass without asking you, how's the wheat crop looking in Levon?
Well, northeast Texas, we did get a wheat crop planted for a change, because in the fall of 22, it went to rain in during our planting period, and just nearly the whole region missed. But for this year, I believe average plantings are back in place. I don't think we have a particular ratio of increase. Majority of the northeast Texas is a wheat corn rotation. We do have some cotton, soybeans, and other crops grown, and obviously beef cattle and hay. But the wheat crop itself, to speak to it, it's coming out of starting to join a little bit. Top dressing is going on, the initial nitrogen application. I don't know whether other fellows will be putting a second on, and then other field activities that are already cranking up to is corn planting as well.
That's Texas wheat grower Ben Schultz of Levon. Timing could mean a lot for farmers looking for pricing opportunities for 2024 cotton. James Hunt has more from a Texas A&M cotton marketing specialist.
As we get closer to cotton planting time in the Texas High Plains, John Robinson of Texas A&M AgriLife says some of the best pricing opportunities for the new crop could come fairly soon.
The normal seasonal highs of the year typically happen in March, April, May. So from where we are, I could see us trending higher, getting pulled up in the normal gyrations of uncertainty about the crop size. We could get pulled up into the low 90s or so. That's more or less what I expect to happen. And then as the uncertainty fades out of the market, which usually happens beginning in July and especially through about September, when the market figures out how much we have on the supply side, that's like letting air out of a balloon. And then I could see us slipping back through the 80s into the 70s.
So if we're looking at the potential for prices to eventually slide back into the 70s, maybe even the low 70s, does that mean it's time to sell if the December contract does reach the level of 90 cents or higher early on? Dr. Robinson says anytime the market is offering you an opportunity to make a profit, you should consider pricing some of your cotton at that time, but selling your crop in stages can be a good way to go.
You know, take high prices as they come and sell some portion, you know, 20%, 30%, something like that. And then if you were wrong and the market went higher, you know, be thankful and sell some more.
Once again, that was Dr. John Robinson. He's a cotton marketing specialist with Texas A&M AgriLife. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Leaders of the Senate Agriculture Committee are discussing their farm bill priorities. Jessica Domel has more.
Leaders of the Senate Committee on Agriculture are underlining the need for a new farm bill. Here's Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow.
I share the concerns of my colleagues that after recent years of record farm income, new trends show that farming continues to be one of the riskiest businesses there is. This makes it abundantly clear what I've been saying for months. It's time to get together on a bipartisan farm bill that supports our farmers, big and small, and helps rural communities thrive.
The 2018 Farm Bill expired last year and was extended through September 30th to allow Congress more time to reach an agreement on the food and farm legislation. The chairwoman said recently she would rather delay the Farm Bill again than strike a deal with Republicans that would limit climate funding and social safety net programs like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP.
SNAP is the foundation of the safety net for American families who need just a little help to make ends meet, usually just for a while. The bipartisan evaluation of SNAP that we directed in the 2018 Farm Bill, after 50 years of the program, resulted in just an additional $1.40 per day per person, bringing benefits to about $6 a day to help folks put food on the table. But this was enough to lift 1 million children out of poverty.
This is Chairwoman Stabenow's last farm bill as she is retiring. She said the farm bill is the art of the possible, where they can reach bipartisan solutions that keep farmers farming, families fed, and rural communities strong. Left comments from committee ranking member John Bozeman on our next show. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
It's March, and that means spring weather is near. Tom Nicoletti has his monthly weather outlook.
In Fort Worth is meteorologist with the National Weather Service, Tom Bradshaw. And Tom, certainly the month of March means spring will be on the calendar officially later in the month, but it also brings a lot of high winds. We've got low humidity and the hot weather that we experienced in February carrying over a little bit into what might be expected for the March forecast.
For sure, the month of March in the state of Texas is a big transitional month for us. You start kind of pulling out of the cold temperatures and the potential snow and rainy conditions in winter, and you start moving into the green up in the springtime and certainly the hot weather in the summer. Lots of wind is normally the rule across Texas during the month of March, and oftentimes you have very dry conditions, particularly across the western and central parts of the state. It does look like that's probably going to be the case again this year, so we're going to have to sort of keep an eye on continued wildfire threats and certainly some bouts of relatively warm weather interspersed with some cold outbreaks as well.
Certainly a dry month historically for March, right?
It tends to be, although once we get into the latter part of March, we start to get a little bit more of these spring storm systems. The stronger thunderstorms start to develop with these strong storm systems. We get a little more active, you know, rainfall patterns. So the rain does start to kind of bring forth here across the state. In, certainly moving into April and May. But the early part of March oftentimes is a relatively dry period. And in fact, it does look like this March we're going to be a little on the dry side, probably a little bit on the cool side as well, temperature-wise, the way the monthly model prognostications are looking for us.
That is National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Bradshaw in Fort Worth. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
This is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley. Extreme South Texas stays wet and cool, but spring is on the horizon. We'll have those stories and more in today's report.
And coccidiosis can be difficult to control in young calves. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Texas Farm Bureau has served farm families in rural Texas for nearly 90 years. We're pleased to offer new affordable health care coverage choices for all Texans through Texas Farm Bureau health plans. You do not need to be a member to inquire and apply. Plans are available anytime. There is no open enrollment period. Our United Healthcare Choice Plus network of providers is one of the largest available. For more information about the different plans, how to apply, or to get a quote for you, your family, or your small business, visit tfbhealth.com.
Making Texas agriculture great again. This is Texas Ag Today.
Extreme South Texas has been wet and cool. Jim Hearn has an update from the Rio Grande Valley.
A series of cool fronts have brought extreme South Texas cool and wet weather. The latest rains left between 1 and 2 inches of rain over a, say, 3-day period, perfect for the dry land and also irrigated crops. Row crop planting continues with cotton. Corn and milo crops are off to a great start, and the spring onion crop also looks good. Now, the citrus harvest continues. Growers are harvesting grapefruit and now Valencia oranges. The available moisture has given the irrigation crews a little bit of a break. At this writing, it's pretty safe to say that winter is now behind us, and we're looking forward to a warmer spring-like weather pattern. Lemons and limes have started their annual spring bloom, and that's going to be followed by oranges and then grapefruit. The recent rains have helped bring pastures out of their winter sleep. A lot of green grass now starting to show up, and stock tanks are showing the benefits of that 1 to 2 inches of rain. The reservoir system, Amistad and Falcon, have made it through another winter. Falcon Reservoir is built now to 17.2% full. That's a slow but steady climb. Amistad holding steady at about 25.4% full. Current elevation should supply all water needs for irrigation, for agriculture, and municipal water usage. With the warmer weather ahead, Valley producers should finish planting and get ready for those row crops to get off to a fast start. For Texas Ag Today, this is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley.
Coccidiosis can be difficult to control in young calves. Dr. Bob Judd says it's caused by a protozoan parasite.
Dr. Madison Kavarna with South Dakota State Extension indicates in Feedlot magazine that coccidiosis usually causes scours in calves of 1 to 2 months old. The disease can also lead to weight loss. Depression can affect older calves in the early feeding period. One method of treating coccidiosis is by using ionophores. Ionophores are feed additives commonly used to increase feed efficiency and growth. And select ionophores can control coccidiosis in very young calves until their natural immunity increases. Ionophores can also be used in older cattle to decrease the number of oocysts spread in the environment. And parasites are killed by changing the environment of the gut. Most mature cows have low levels of coccidia in their digestive tracts, which they shed into the environment in their manure, even though they usually do not have clinical disease. However, the cows are exposing their calves to this parasite, and although the calves are not ingesting the ionophore, treating the cows lowers the number of infective oocysts within the calf's environment. Ionophores can be mixed with pregnant cow's ration 30 days prior to calving, and when calving time comes and the cows are moved to a clean calving area, there will be less infective oocysts in the environment. At this time, Monensin is the only ionophore approved for use in mature reproducing beef cows. and it is important to follow the labeling on the various products. Ionophores are a tool in the toolbox to control coccidiosis, but environment and cattle management should also be considered. Coccidioidosis can survive for months in the environment, so proper management of pens is required to control the disease.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judge. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
When we moved to Texas, we were like fish out of water. We didn't know anyone in our neighborhood until our Texas Farm Bureau insurance agent came to the house. She was so helpful and reassuring, a friendly face with that Texan hospitality I'd heard about. When we purchased a Texas Farm Bureau insurance policy, we knew we were making the right choice. We knew our family would be protected.
Visit Texas Farm Bureau Insurance today at tfbinsurance.com to find an insurance agent who's a true neighbor. Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's look back at how the markets wrapped up on Monday to kick off the trading week. We finished out with a lower trade in cattle futures. In fact, we traded lower throughout most of the day. We ended up lower in both live and feeder cattle. Here's a rundown on the prices. April live cattle dropped $1.77, $186.67. June down $1.42, $182.57. With August down 77 cents, $181.92. Feeder cattle, March contract dropped $1.42, $251.55. April down $2.25 at $255.75. May feeders down $2.40. at $257.77. Cash fed cattle trade last week, 71,697 head. 79% of that committed for nearby delivery, the remaining 21% committed to deferred delivery. The price, mostly 183 here in the Southern Plains. That's fully steady with the previous week. In the north, dress cattle traded for mostly 290. That's $2 lower compared to the previous week's average. Boxed beef prices higher Monday. Choice up $1.39, $306.67. Select up $1.61 at $297.35. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Here's Russell Heller, Lexington Livestock Commission Company. Russell, how was your Saturday sale?
Yes, sir. Had a good sale. 802 total head with 83 cows.
Walk the pens with me.
All right, the thinner packer cows 70 to 95, and the better cows 96 to 133. On the steering bull calves, 3 to 400 pounds, 220 to 395. 4 to 5 weights, 215 to 365. 5 to 6 weights, 210 to 325. 6 to 7 weights, 205 to 290. 7 to 8 weights, $2 to 270. On the heifers, 3 to 400 pounds, $2 to 360. 4 to 5 weights, 195 to 320. 5 to 6 weights, 190 to 285. 6 to 7 weights, 185 to 265. 7 to 8 weights, 180 to 240.
Good. What was the condition on the cattle all the way across?
Now, the condition is good. I mean, they're starting to get a little green now and putting a little bit more flesh on them, and you're starting to see a few new crop calves showing up.
Right. But you know the price is good when a man will pull a new crop calf and sell it fast and make as many dollars as that calf that's got the condition on it that'll go back to grass, don't you?
Yes, sir. That's what they're looking at now, those dollars per head, what the little light ones are bringing.
Right. Now, do you know of any of those little light ones or those good wrung-out wash rag type cattle that'll kind of come next week?
I'm supposed to have a set of Charlet calves coming off some ryegrass. It'll be probably 6 to 750 pounds, and that's all that I know of.
Well, tell everybody how to get a hold of you for that next Saturday sale, Russell Heller.
Sure, you can get me on my cell, and that number is 979-820-7002.
We appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show, and we will talk with you toward week's end.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. And neighbor, it's goodbye to you too. Thanks for listening to the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network and Walking the Pens. I'm Larry Marble. He's Russell Heller, and neighbor, we hope you have a grand day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Where lean hogs finished lower on Monday. April hogs dropped $1.80, $86.27. May hogs down 7 at $91.97. Class 3 milk was lower. March milk down 6, $16.71 a hundredweight. with April milk down 17 at $16.61 a hundred. The cotton market traded both sides of unchanged throughout the session on Monday. We mostly saw the old crop lower, new crop a bit higher. That's following last week's impressive run-up on old crop futures, where we broke through that dollar a pound level at one point. Export sales numbers coming out this Thursday. Last week, we only saw 40,000 bales sold. May cotton down 99 points, wrapping up at 94.58. July cotton down 40, 93.37, with new crop December cotton up 31 points, 83.26. Corn and wheat both posting gains on the day. We sold 110,000 metric tons of corn to Taiwan. Weekly inspections remaining solid at 1.084 million metric tons. March corn up 5 1/4, 417.5. May corn up 5 1/4 at 430 a bushel. September corn up 5 at 450 1/4. Wheat futures closed higher in both hard and soft wheat to kick off the trading week after a big washout on Friday. Looking at the weather forecast, the plains will see warmer than normal temperatures heading into the middle of March with better moisture possibilities next week. We closed out on the hard wheat market. March contract up 22.5, 602.5. New crop July up 11.5 at 567. On soft wheat, March up 3.5, 563.5. New crop July up 6, 597.25. In the energy markets, April natural gas was up 8 cents at $1.92. April West Texas crude oil down $1.13, 78.84 a barrel. The financial markets narrowly mixed Monday afternoon. The Dow down 22 points, 39,065. The NASDAQ up 1, 16,276. The S&P up 9 at 5,146. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.